Abraham, chapter 3, chapter 16, text 37, and so forth. Why is it on your shoes? You have to get on the song, Shiva Prabhupada. When something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it. Even if it appears to be the reverse, according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful creature is killed, or sometimes is put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came in this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and Pallad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom. Their wife was insulted and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord even in reverse conditions is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use in talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that it was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. It was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord.
So, today was 15th of March. Just after Mangalai Tik, we sat down in the temple room to chant Chakra in front of Srila Prabhupada. And practically that same moment, Prabhupada Maharaj was sitting beside me. Gopal Raj came over in a very excited state, saying that Kamakrishna Maharaj had had an accident in the car that he was driving in and that he was unconscious. So, turn the sound off. So we got out of him that it was in Fulia, which is another 6 kilometers outside, on the other side of Shantipur. And Asajai Ptakamash, chanting Gayatri, so I went up to them and told them. And anyway, very quickly we arranged for some life members in the nearby area to go out to the scene of the accident. And then we got into a car. Jagtak Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, myself, Niranjan Maharaj, and Jagvedi Maharaj, and drove it's about a 45-minute drive. And as we got through Shantipur, or maybe before Shantipur, two or three cars sort of flagged us down, telling us there was an accident further down. And eventually we found out that that was actually our accident. We went through Shantipur Hospital to see if they were there, but they weren't. By the time we got to the scene of the accident, the police were there. Jagdeep Maharaj, he's lived in India for 30 years, he said it was the worst accident he'd ever seen. It was this big Tata Sumo, and it had obviously hit one of these huge big trees. The road was straight, and then it was completely, it had turned over, although by now the police had turned it back over, but the front passenger side and the rear, which is the left side and the rear left side, were like completely smashed. And that life member's wife was there. She was completely hysterical. But found out tomorrow Krishnaji was sitting in the front, which I don't know, he rarely does. Usually sits in the back left side. All of his stomach would have done, made much difference. Anyway, and she was saying that he was unconscious and his shoulder was broken. So we went to, the police told us that he was taken to Ranagat, which is another 10 kilometers towards Calcutta. So we went to Ranagat Hospital. And when we went there, there were these, well, I could say it was hysterically emotional devotees there. So we went in to see a doctor, and he immediately took us to see Tamar Krishnaraj in the next room. He was just laying on a, hospital bed, pushing. And then we went, then immediately he just said that he's expired. So we were all shocked, very surprised. And he looked, yes, he was yellow. He, from looking at him, it was obvious that he had left his body. So we all paid our obeisances, and we offered our obeisances, went out, and then started a series of, well, then we tried to figure out who else was in the car. As it turned out, Kala Sambara, who was the president of Auckland, and his wife, the driver, another devotee, were in the car. And she was, the doctor said that she thought that she would probably leave her body. She had head concussion. She was sitting right behind Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he said they couldn't help her there. She had to be taken to Calcutta, but there was every chance she would die in Calcutta. So some devotees went up to be with her. I'll get back to her condition later. And then we were talking with the doctors and the police and trying to phone Mayapur, arrange for bringing him back. Of course, the real thing was to find out how quickly we could get the body from the hospital. So first they said they would have to do an autopsy, was an accident, therefore they had to do autopsy to legally establish cause of death. So of course we didn't want anything like that to happen, that they would cut Gurudev's body. So Chaktak Maharaj and others were phoning different government officers to get to interfere on that. In any case, the doctor wouldn't come until noon. This happened, I guess it happened around 4:30 in the morning. We were on the site, we were in the hospital by a little after 6:30. And so there were different things going on. And then I went to see this Mataji. No one could, in the wildest imagination, imagine what this hospital was like. It was the most dilapidated, dirty, filthy place. I think better toilets. And they brought her in, there were no rooms available, she was on the floor. So when I went up, and just at that time the surgeon there reported that she started coughing blood. She was lying on the floor and they had a drip on her and some oxygen. And then we went there to chant Hare Krishna. Her husband was there. He was holding her head in his lap and fanning her. So we started chanting Hare Krishna, and in a couple of minutes she died. And that was another thing. Maybe around 9 o'clock. Then there's a, I don't know what's it called, mortuary, 100 yards around the hospital. So they allowed us to, the Mataji was taken there. We took Tamal Krishna Maharaj there. His body was terribly cut up. I lifted him up and I was just all, so much blood. And we carried him over on a stretcher. Four flights. It was just mortuary. And then he was there for about 3 hours until the doctor came. Then the doctor insisted on doing some small surgery since it was legally required. And then at around, I guess, 1:30, got both bodies, put them in a Sankirtan van. And we tried to leave, but the locals wanted to see Goswami Maharaj's face, and they wouldn't let us leave. There was this crowd of 300 people, and they didn't let us leave. I didn't want to show his face because it was so scarred. But ultimately, we had to show something. Other than, we were there for half an hour, they wouldn't let us go. So they wanted to see the saint's face, otherwise. So then we left and drove slowly back. We got back here 3:15, 3 o'clock, Mayapur. By then, well, we spent a lot of time discussing Gaura Narayan, other disciples, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well. At first, everyone thought Mahakrishna Maharaj wants to go to Vrindavan, have samadhi there. So thinking it would perform, booked some flights on the airplane, 15 seats, and from that, bringing him here, and then getting the evening flight. Unfortunately, that was solved. Narasvar had found minister in Das, who had Gurudev's will. And Yudhisthira was very adamant that in his will, Gurudev wanted his body to go to Govardhan. But then when he read the will over the phone, it said like that, if I leave my body, I want to go to Govardhan. But then at the end it said, however, if I leave my body in Mayapur, then I want to place my body in Mayapur. So that answered that question. And then we found up in here, they were making all kinds of arrangements. They took a site behind the samadhi, Prabhupada samadhi. And then when we came, everybody was there, all devotees. Building, two rooms, one for Vrindavaneshwari, another one for Tamar Krishna Maharaj. So all the sannyasis came in. Then we left senior disciples and they bathed them and changed them and cleaned them up, put new clothes, decorated, wrote samadhi mantras on his body. And then he was brought out to, then he looked very nice. All the marks on his face were all covered and I was nicely dressed. Even his eyes were open, he looked very nice. Stopped. Yeah, he looked very nice. And then was taken on stretcher into temple room before Prabhupada, Nishimadev, Panchatattva, Radha Madhava. And we put him down in front of Radha Madhava. And all the devotees in the temple room took darshan. I don't know how long it took, but everyone came up on stage and took darshan. Then when they finished, that was about 5:30, we picked him up again and went with Kirtan to Prabhupada Samadhi and circumambulated to Prabhupada. Then behind Prabhupada Samadhi, a pit had been prepared. There was salt in the bottom, and we lowered the stretcher with his body on it. Then they removed the stretcher and placed him on the salt, many flower garlands. Boga was offered, IT was offered, Ega Chakra offered IT, and Vishwambar was then helping put the salt on the body, around the body. So deep hold, around 7 feet deep, 8 feet deep. About 6 foot by 6 foot, and with the head facing Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, and then the body was completely covered and face was also covered with soft, and then they put in earth, and then I left. I imagine it was filled back up, and then we'll put a temporary samadhi on the top, and of course it's time the devotees will build something suitable, and garlands were taken from the body to make a Pushpa Samadhi in Bodhidharma. Then tomorrow we'll have remembrances in Kirtan in the morning, and then a feast in the, after that. That's what I remember now. Hare Krishna.
Morning, I once again I woke up very early. This is already 1 week now. Today's Friday. It was the last Friday by me. Look on him as my father. I never had protection from my parents because I was brought up in a monastery, Catholic monastery. So the affection that I felt for me fell down the gap of my father and mother's affection. So it is very difficult for me to get over it. But with your mercy and encouragement, I'm surviving. It's like part of me has died in my book. I'm not a full person like before. I had the good fortune, the privilege of becoming his first student in Europe. I guess because I was very fallen, and usually most fallen they're left up first. He wanted me very much to go to Mayapur with him. I was scheduled to go to Mayapur the end of March with my son Dauji, but he said, why don't you come when I go? And we can spend some time together. So I changed my tickets. And I went at the same time that he went. We didn't speak much in my group. He was not very much interacting with his disciples. But there was a very strong message there. It was a very deep lesson for me to remember and learn. Every day, he would ask us to go to the Ganga with him and pretend the bhajans in evening. 3-4 hours bhajans every evening. And it was the last week before he passed away that I observed very unusual things, which I will share with all of you now. There were devotees, or brothers, Prabhupada disciples, they would go and visit him, and they would ask him, like, Madhuri Narayan Prabhu, who was a GBC member, and Abhiram Prabhu, they would ask him about his PhD. Have you finished your PhD? Yes. And he said, yes, I finished my PhD. But actually, he didn't finish his PhD. And then Bhagri Narayan Prabhu, he said, Maharaj, I very much miss arguing with you. Every time we would go to the GBC meeting, we would always fight and argue. So what we can argue about this year for GBC meeting. And my Guru Maharaj said, I don't think we can have any argument this year. I didn't come here for GBC meeting, mainly. I didn't come here for arguing. But I came here to create an impact on ISKCON. I came here to change ISKCON by intensifying the bhajans, chanting. He said, then he said it to Abhiram, So I just want to absorb myself into chanting because I may die soon. That's another implication. So I may die soon. I likely survived the cancer crisis, but I just feel, you know, that I should absorb myself into chanting, and this is a service that I want to do to ISKCON. So every night we will chant. Very, very beautiful. The best kirtan, the best bhajans that I ever heard in my life. They were taking place there in the apartment, and there was thousands of devotees. They wanted to come in, and there was few on the balcony. So then they decided to move all the bhajans into the temple. He also said once. Before the bhajan, I said, we only need a Kripa Maya. Yeah. So he was thinking of you, I want you to know. And they were taking in turns, Radhanath Swami, Bibi Govinda Swami, Shivaram Swami, and the last one was Virajan Swami to sing. It was very beautiful. And I could see that for 2-3 hours, his eyes, they were completely closed, absorbed in the metal of the holy names. And in this way, he passed his 10 days in my group. So, I'm going to recall other indications. On the last day before he passed away, on the 14th, He called me up to his place, and he said, Vishwambar, just sit down here and give me your association while I'm cracking. It's very unusual because all the years I've been serving him, and I know his habits, that he never packs with the people around him. He always likes to pack on his own. And he doesn't even receive his god brothers. I don't know if you remember Kripa Mahaprabhu, when once he was packing here, he got very angry because I brought him in. So you stay here and don't allow anyone in. I always pack on my own because he needs to concentrate. So I said, it's quite unusual. So I sat down and he was very happily packing, he was very enthusiastic, and he said, he looked at me and he says, oh, Vishwambar, tomorrow I'm going back home. And my first thought was back home. I assumed he was England, because he has a home in England, in Oxford. I said, oh, so if you like England very much, then you should make your base there. Even after studying, you can have your base there. Then he looked at me and he was smiling. And he was carrying a packing. And then he said, Vishwambar, what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart? And actually, I wanted to share with you this thing. Maybe you could think, you know, I'm sentimental, I've seen things, but actually, I consulted with some senior Vaishnavas, and they said it's proper for me to share with you what happened the day before. The day before, he had personally invited me to go to the Ganga with him, and when he took off his clothes and put his ganges on. There was maybe about 12, 13 disciples, maybe more, 15, and a few converts. So every day we would go to the Ganga, and everything in the scenario was normal. We were back in the Ganga, and he was not talking to anyone. But on that day, he entered into the Ganga, and somehow or another, I just saw with my eyes, I saw that his body was changing color. It was like a milk color, you know, like a newborn baby. So I was trying to understand. I said, maybe I'm seeing things, imagining things, maybe it's a trick of my mind. It could be the sun, it could be the water. So it was something that impressed on my mind. And then he said to me, Vishwambhara, this is the place to enjoy. Mayapur is the place to enjoy. Do you like better here or Vrindavan? I said, yeah, I like better here to enjoy. You have the Ganga, you have nice sunshine, you have the mercy of Mahaprabhu, nice devotees. And then he came out of the water and the body changed into pink. So it was a pinkish color. Again, I said it could be the sun, it could be the Ganga. I'm just hallucinated. Then I spoke to one of my brothers about that, and he also agreed with me, and he said the same thing. But he said we have to be very careful to not, you know, spread around people who could think, you know, that we are Sahaja, we are, you know. I usually don't like to advertise that my Gurudev is the best of you in the body of Krishna. He always trained his disciples to be very, very low profile and to not advertise it like the self-approach of the child. So he was always like that. So that's it. Then the next day when he called me and he asked this question, Vishwambhara, what's going on in your heart? I have to admit, you know, I was a bit confused. I would ask him, what did I see? I'm seeing things. And I don't know. I said to him, I think some purification is taking place in my heart. And I'm seeing things. Maybe it's my imagination. And I was just about, you know, to tell him what I... He said, what were you seeing? Then there was one of my godbrother, Guru Charan Prabhu from Italy. He came in and he wanted to try to hear. I was in the bedroom with my Gurudev when I was talking about this. And he came close because he wanted to hear. So I immediately changed a bit. I said, well, I think I had a deep realization that you are not of this world. And I said, it's improper for a disciple to express his feeling to the Guru about these things. Or am I being, or is that proper? And then he said, no, whatever you see with your heart, that's correct. And then he looked up on his my godbrother, and he said something, that's another indication. He said, the disciple must mature. He must mature and learn how to advance even in the absence of the Guru. I never saw him speaking like that. Even in the absence of the Guru. And then he was carrying on packing. Then two of his godbrothers, they came in. And one was Narishwar Prabhu and Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, which is the disciple of Jataka Goswami. And he said that they came in, and usually when it is with his god brothers, you know, we withdraw, and I was just about to go to the Ganga. And then he said, Vishwamba, before you go, I want you to do a last service for me. After the last service from the 10 days that he's been in Mayapur. He said, I want you to do a personal service. Please go to the Ganga and pay my last respect to Mother Ganga. Go there, represent me, take a bath on my behalf. So I told him, last respect to Mother Ganga for the 10 days he's been. Usually he always goes himself to take a bath. He never asked anyone, you know, to represent him. But he said, my last respect. So I carried on his instructions, and it was truly the last respect, the last bath that he took in the Ganga, truly. So the next day, I woke up. It was about 5:30 in the morning. I woke up, and it was a beautiful day. Birds, they were chirping. You know, Mayapur, very beautiful, very nice, relaxed. The Samadhi tape was going on, Prabhupada's bhajan, the cows, they were. I was supposed to be on that day also. Actually, the day before, his servant, Agavit, which was in the car with him, he asked me, is a few going tomorrow, so maybe you can come with us, in the car with us. And I said, but there's a problem. My train is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to Delhi, but Guru Maharaj is leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we are going to be in Calcutta for 12 hours. I can't even go to the temple because they locked up the temple. There were some problems with the retreat thing. And before I left my Guru Maharaj, the day before, I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I can't come with you because my train is very late. And have a good trip. And we'll see you in England. I'm wishing I could be with you, you know, in the car. He said, no, don't worry, no problem. There will be other devotees that will come. So that was the last when I went to the Ganga in my path. The next day when I woke up, I was a bit disturbed mentally. And I couldn't understand why. It was about 5:30 in the morning. Usually I never went for Mangalarti in those days because the youth form building is very close to the Goshala and it's a long, very long walk to the temple. So I used to get up about 5 o'clock, 5:30 every morning. And I was walking towards the temple, and the husband of one of my god sisters came towards me and said, come on, let's go, I've got the car ready, let's go to on the spot. I said, why? I can't go anywhere, I'm leaving today. I'm just going to the businesses 3 days, then going back to park. I can't go anywhere. I said, but Oh, Krishna Maharaj, your Guru Maharaj is having an accident. That's when at first was very unusual because it's a very wonderful day. The sunshine was very nice, peaceful atmosphere. And striking thunder, you know, a beautiful day. You never expect such a thing. And I wanted to find out more. I went into the temple room and I saw all these devotees. Some of them, they were down, completely on the floor, crying and There were sannyasis embracing each other and crying. Some devotees, the temple was packed up, and devotees, they were chanting next to the altar of Lord Shiva. And so I saw this scenario everywhere. Everybody was crying. And I saw Sridhar Maharaj, Krishna Prabhu from Italy, Dhiranjan Swami was there, Giridhar Swami, Radha Swami. So I was standing there and I wanted to inquire from them what happened. And Sridhar Maharaj, he was the other, tears in his eyes, that his kurta was soaked in tears. And my heart was really, I knew that something wrong. Some maybe mentally injured, or, and then he just grabbed my head and he put my head on his chest, and there were tears, you know, coming on my neck, on my head, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And he broke the news. He said, "Be prepared that your Gurudev is had a car accident and he's going back home back to the hotel." And immediately I felt my body very heavy, my legs very weak. I was almost like collapsing. And of course, he said that when the spiritual master passed away, the disciple should cry like a baby. But that thing for me was like I was trying to force myself, you know, not cry, but it was I was crying like a baby, and it reminded me when I was a young boy, 6 years old, when my parents, they took me to the monastery. They said, "You wake up, we'll go, you just go to the toilet and we'll pick you up again." And then the nuns, you know, they took me away, and I couldn't see anymore my father and my mother, and I was feeling so, I was crying and feeling so depressed. And so that childish thing, you know, of losing my father, that feeling that came to me also in my world when I heard the news, when I'm going to do what we and the old disciples. It was very devastating. So then Giridhar Swami, Radhanath Swami, they asked me to go for meetings, saying, "You have to keep sober. You are one of the senior disciples here, and we have to make decisions on the emotions of your Guru Maharaj." So I sit through the meeting, but I couldn't hear the talking. They were speaking and I couldn't register anything. And then I heard from several devotees that when you have the darshan of the deities in the morning, he left 4:15 during Mangalarti. Sorry. It was, yes, 4:15, and the accident was 5:15. He spent a long time in front of Garuda, and some of his disciples, they said that he whispered, "You know, please protect me in my journey." He was like, in one sense, preparing himself. And another thing, like you heard from the tape of Sri Ram Swami, that I can testify is true, that he never sits on the front. Every time I drove in, every time I, over my years, for 17 years I've been driving in, always sits on the back, even if I'm on my own with him. Always. So he chose his own driver, he chose the car, he chose to sit on the front, on the left. And the driver, he only had 1 hour sleep, was from Kolkata. He came in the morning, sorry, it came in evening. We slept for 1 hour and then middle of the night we brought back. And we fell asleep on the road. And he turned drastically on the left and they crashed into a tree. Very huge tree. And Mataji was behind my Guru Maharaj, and there was Kalasambara in the middle. And there was another, the servant of my Guru Maharaj, Agabit, was sitting on the right side, but he's out of danger now. So Kalasambara Guruji just hurt superficially his legs, but he's okay. His wife, she died in Aspadam, as you heard on the tape. My Guru Maharaj, some day said that he was still unconscious when he reached the Aspadam. Some day said he left on the spot. But I tend to believe that he left on the spot because there was another one of my godbrother on the back in the taxi, Shyamaram. He's about 17 years old, and he came out of the taxi and he went on the scenario and he cut off the belt where my Guru Maharaj was kept in and he pulled him out, but he couldn't feel any breathing or any pulse or any heart beating. So he set my Guru Maharaj on his lap. And there was no sign of life. That's what he told me. But there was another version that he was unconscious until he reached the hospital. But in any case, the place was in Furia. It's 7 kilometers after Shantipur. And as we all know, it's the place where Haridas Thakur chanted 300,000 names. And he used to go preaching door to door with Advaita Acharya. So that place is very intense atmosphere, very pure. And according to the Indian calendar, it was the appearance day or disappearance day of Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. Disappearance day. So very auspicious time. And Brahma Bhumata time. So anyway, you heard the rest of the tape, then they brought the body, the two bodies with bus, Shiva Goswami, Vivekananda Swami and Jagadguru Goswami, Narishwar Prabhu was there in the bus. And it was about 4,000 devotees crowded. So from the gate, when they reached the gate, after the lotus building, they were driving very slow. And they had all the windows closed because devotees, they were crying and trying to open the windows. And it was about maybe 60 disciples of my Guru Maharaj. They were all trying to get in the bus. So I was, when I saw, Shivaram Swami, he opened the little window and he grabbed my hand. And I said, Maharaj, is it true that my father is gone? And I said, did he say anything? His mouth was trembling and he started to cry like a baby. And he pulled me tight in his two arms, and the one is pulling me away. So he said, please stay with me, because we have to take the body. So we went to the lotus building, on the back room of the lotus building. There was one room for the Mataji and one room for the Ramakrishna Maharaj. So So we carried the dolly into the room, and there was about 50, 60 sannyasis there. The only one sannyasis, GBC members, and a few senior disciples, three or four. We were very afraid. We didn't have the courage of touching the body. There was this white sheet. There was blood. Let's see, white sheet with blood. And then there was a few sannyasis, like Bhakti Vanshwami and a few others. They wanted to bait from our Vishnu Maharaj, but the Jagdev Swami and Shiva Maharaj, they were very angry, said nobody dared to touch the body. This is the right of the disciples. That's, they said that's the tradition. But we were too, you know, emotional. We were crying, myself, Gaurav Narayan, Heka Chakra, and Sachi Dula. So then Shiva Maharaj asked me to take off the sheet and start to bathe the body with some garlic water, wipe the blood from the body. I'm not going to go into details about the negative side of it, in what condition was the body. I don't like to meditate on that, and I don't like to speak about that. But I'm going to say the good side of it. As early on I said, when I then went to the Ganga and I saw those two colors, when I took off the sheet from his body, that's what I saw. The color of the body was pink. It was milk color, very pale. And his hands, they were pink. His feet, they were pink. So the combination of the two, I realized that some kind of indication, the Lord was giving some indication that, because I never saw such a thing before. And we cleaned the body, the blood and everything. We put the Samadhi mantra on, Tilak mantra on the body, to cover all the statues. And we put some oil. And another thing that I observed, that the hair on his chest, they were raised and hard. They were close on his arm. They were, I thought, you know, when you put some liquid on your hair, you know, the hair would go down. But they were so hard and raised, they would go down. And the body was very soft, like flowers. I couldn't feel the bones in the body. It was very soft, and there was this fragrance of jasmine emanating from the body. I don't know if it was the oil I was putting on, or it was just fragrant. And then I put necklace of around his neck, which should have brought back two. One of his wish was to be buried, that he dies, so he should be buried with Prabhupada. Tooth around his neck. Then we did that, put the components, dressed him up nicely, and put a turban on his head to cover up the statues. And we took him out, and we went to the temple room, and we had a darshan of Prabhupada, Lama Shingadev, Panchatattva. And I remember that Jagadev Swami several times he tried to close the eyes, but the eyes, they won't close. trying to tell you that obviously that the Lord wanted to see him, or he wanted to see the Lord.
His head was towards the right, like this. With his eyes, the pupils, they were right up. That's the way. The eyes, they were so huge, and I saw the, his face, just like Lord Jagannath. And the eyebrow, they was spread. They were very higher, just like a very compassionate person. And he had a very merciful face. The other still is aristocratic. Look was still there. So he, in this way, had been putting in front of Radha Madhavan. There were about 4,000 devotees to come and pay respects. Sannyasis, they were all crying, grabbing his feet. Some of them, they said, I didn't have a chance, you know, to beg for forgiveness. Forgive me, you know, you neither punish me, you neither forgive me, you don't say anything. Some of them, they were really very, very touched, and they felt very regretful. They could not express their feelings when he was alive. So, then we talk, the stretcher, it broke three times also. Because there's so many bodies trying to carry him. The body was heavy, so heavy. But then Srila Swami said, only the disciples, they should carry the body, six disciples. I myself, he asked me to be on the front to make the way for the bodies. And the body was carried very nicely by the disciples, then into the samadhi, the last darshan of Srila Prabhupada. Then we went to the to the side of his samadhi, the hole, the pit, and they asked me to go down and go around the Rama chakra. Jagannivas Prabhu was there, we have the Bhavan, the Aarti, Eka Chakra, we have the Aarti. And then Shri Rama Maharaj, Bhakti Shri Maharaj, they were asking me to try to close his eyes before the salt was put on his face. And they didn't want the salt to go in his eyes. It was just about sunset. He was supposed to cover the body before the sun would go out of the sight. So then I, with two flowers, I closed his eyes, and they closed. And I wiped his blood around his eye with these two flowers. Which one of those flowers I gave to my godfather, Gauri Prabhu. And then I put the big flower on his face, and the Harinam chakra on his face. And then we covered up with the salt, and then the dirt, the heart of Mayapur, the dust of Mayapur down. So, this is the that's what happened. Another indication that I'd like to share with you is that we were invited, my family, we were invited for Christmas to this place for a prasadam, for dinner, Christmas dinner. And he said, you were there. So I said, I like to serve you now because I never get a chance to serve you. He said, no. I won't have this Christmas with you because you reminded me of because he never celebrated Christmas in his life. And he said, I want to have a Catholic Christmas, a Christian Christmas. And he was listening to this glorification of the church. Right, every day he was listening to the songs, the praise of the Lord. He said, I want to have a Catholic. Do you mind me of about Catholic religion? Being brought up in Catholic monastery and so on. Tonight you'll be here as my son, not as my servant. I want you to sit on the table and you serve me in that way, by taking a meal with me, like that. So the special body for who is there as my brother, you are here as my son, your wife is there as my sister, children here as my grandchildren, that's I never had a family life, he said, so I won't spend this dinner as a family. And then he said something very interesting that I said to him, oh, you look just like Jesus, and we're around the table. And he said, this is like the Last Supper. And it was actually the Last Supper. It was the last time I talked to somebody. And then we had a toast with the grape juice and we said, maybe we should have an expressed wish of going back on that toilet. I think that was, Janet, do you remember what was the wish? Going back on that toilet, something like that. So, the Last Supper, and when I was about to leave, I said, you know, I never had a chance. I said, I like to serve you the way you serve the Srila Prabhupada. I never had a chance to do intimate service for you. Maybe I could be your secretary one day, or he said, you are useless as secretary. you don't even know how to write a letter. And he said, you're a very good driver, very good host, good preacher, good businessman, very good husband. So he even wrote me a letter like that. He said, so don't worry about, you know, serving me intimately. You do these things and that's service to me. He said, it will come the day when you perform very intimate service for me. And I knew that there was between the ground on his body. I also want to, I'm sorry, I've been speaking about my relationship with him. I shouldn't really be speaking about him. But I want to say a few things about, in the past, what I heard from him about a few devotees out here. Once he said to me that Kripa Moya and his wife, they were very highly of Vyasa, and you should learn from them a lot. They're a very good preacher, and they're very just that their spiritual master. So then he said about Mother Kalangana that she's already walking. I'm interested to go where she's going. She's already walking in the spiritual world. And I should always seek her shelter. I'm just trying to recall everything he said, things that he said about devotees. Yeah, said about my gesture that she She's got a perfect heart as a mother. And Smara Hari Prabhu, that he's very, once when I was in India, he gave a class here on Prabhupada's appearance there. Smara Prabhu spoke up for him about something, and he said he's actually very loyal to Srila Prabhupada and to his Iskcon family. He like the transcendental dog watch of Iskcon. Watchdog, that's how you call it. Watchdog of Iskcon. He said, also once about Mother Shama Sundari, that she's a very good cook. When we had a feast here, I can't remember what the celebration was, but very good cook, and she could feel the heart and the bhakti in that cooking. He said, when I was in in Oxford with him, he said, anyway, Gauri Prabhu is coming, so he always lamented he didn't have many god brothers there. But he's such a qualified devotee that, you know, he's worth so many god brothers. He told me that in Oxford, so you have the association of a very good god brother. Shruti Dharma, he said that he's such an humble devotee that he's always in the mood of serving. And every time he sees him, he feel like that he should be serving Shruti Dharma. And he said he always feels embarrassed about service from him. I'm sure that he said so many things about so many devotees. And you know, he's keeping all of you in his heart. And I'm sure he's keeping all of you in him in his heart. So I think I'll stop here. And again, once again, thank you very much for your comfort. And please keep us in your mercy. And I hope I will always remember his instructions, his wish. And I hope I will once again hear his voice.